You're listening to The Word from Westwood, a series of podcasts featuring sermons preached at Westwood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles, California.
So this week, we had a lot of choices to make. Some of them were in our personal lives and very simple. What am I going to wear today? What am I going to have for lunch? Some of them were more complex. Perhaps you had to make a financial decision in your life, or an employment decision, or a health decision. Those are tough choices. Some of us had momentous decisions to make, things that rock our lives or the lives of other people that we love. Denise and Sherry talked earlier about deciding to support the church and how that impacted their lives over the years. And of course, there was a choice that our nation made last Tuesday, about who was going to be our president. Now, here in California, I had to smile just a little bit because I was watching all of the news channels in my home. And at 8 p.m. and 5 seconds, they called California for Clinton. And I thought, wow, did my vote matter at all? Was that relevant? And it sort of threw me for a moment. But it wasn't just the president who was elected last week. There were many things on the ballot, things that you voted for, choices that you made. Choices whether to have a plastic bag at the grocery store. Whoa, I went to the grocery store yesterday. People were very upset about being charged that. Are you going to be able to smoke marijuana in your home legally? You see, I add legally for some of you. There were a lot of choices that we had to make. But I know that the most momentous one was indeed who was going to be our new president. Sometimes we make choices that make us happy. And sometimes we make choices, or other people make choices, that take our happiness away. But I think that happiness is a very fickle feeling, because it is most often determined by our circumstances. Today, many of us think that we are entitled to be happy. I think there are a lot of children and teenagers who think we are entitled to be happy. But I am not convinced of that, because I have learned over my life as I get older and older, there's not a lot of things that we are entitled to. We may want to achieve happiness for ourselves and for the people we love and care about, and that is very natural. But it's not a promise. But we do try to strive for happiness. But even though we want to be happy, we have to make choices. And when you make a choice, oftentimes it is risky. And often risk puts our happiness in danger. So often our choices do just the opposite from making us happy. They make us sad. This week I was working with a member of our congregation who is very unhappy in her marriage, and she is trying to decide to make a choice whether to stay married or to get a divorce. And throughout the whole conversation, she talked about happiness. And so I ask her, if you get a divorce, will you be happy? And she was stunned, and she sat there and said, I just don't know. And so I gave her a challenge this week, and I did it because I was working on the sermon and it was front of mind. I said, why don't you stop thinking about happiness and try to identify in your life where you find joy. Because I believe that joy and happiness are not necessarily the same thing. And so this morning, that's what I want to talk about, joy. The scripture you heard this morning is from Isaiah. And there is joy and purpose in those words. Those words are true today. Every word of it. God has given you and me and our church and our nation a purpose, a calling in our communities and in our world. And if we respond to God, if we choose to respond to God, He will reward us and we will receive joy. Isaiah tells us, rejoice in the Lord. Not one word in the Bible promises happiness, but the Bible promises us joy. God does not promise us happiness, but promises us joy. But joy has to be a choice, because we have to be joyful in God, regardless of our circumstances. Happiness comes and goes. We are reminded over and over again that we are not victims to our circumstances. And as I said earlier, circumstances really dictate if we are happy. Joy is really a gift from God. And it's our choice whether we choose to embrace it or not. The prophet Habakkuk tells us in chapter 3, verses 17 through 19, though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails, and fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, or cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful, because God is my Savior. And we find in James my favorite scripture. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work in you, so that you may be mature and complete and not lacking anything. If you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and have no doubts, because one who doubts is like a wave on the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. You see, joy is available no matter what our circumstances, but we must embrace it. Our attitude is important. We know we can trust God even during the most difficult times, even when we don't understand what is happening. The choice to find God and to find joy in God is ours every day. And you know, if we refuse to make that choice, we're making a choice. Just not a joyful one. I think it's important that we dwell on our sorrow and our disappointment in an appropriate amount of time. John Woodall, who's our senior pastor, told me this week that when his father passed away, he was busy. He arranged the service, and he shared the word, and he kept his family going, and a year later, he was leading a small Bible study and fell apart in the Bible study because he never spent the time to grieve and to understand what had happened. So I think it's so important. Well, he told me I could share that story. So it's so important. It's so important that we spend time grieving and thinking about what happened. What went right? What went wrong? What can we do differently next time? But we can't let it paralyze us. We can't be so angry and so upset that we don't look outward to our nation, to our world, to our families, to our community. We have to recalibrate our view of the world and figure out how to go forward. So John and I were talking about the difference between rebooting and recalibrating. Now, rebooting, you know, you do it all the time. You turn your computer on, you turn your computer off. At worst, you unplug it from the wall and you plug it back in. When I was growing up, my father rebooted our television all the time. Yours probably did too. Whoop on the top, and then, you know, you can, it's what happened, okay? Modern rebooting is different, but same idea. But recalibrating is different, okay? And there's several definitions in the dictionary, but they say the same thing. To adjust precisely. To measure precisely. To measure against a standard. Often as Christians, we think that our values should be everyone's values because our values are right. And it is those values that we measure the world on and we measure ourselves on. But when our world shifts, we have to recalibrate. And now I am not saying we have to change our values. Indeed, we do not. We must keep our Christian values. But we have to recalibrate through those values. Our values are the scope that we look through. Our Judeo-Christian beliefs are just that. But I have to tell you something that struck me this week. I do not believe, and I understand this is my personal opinion, and when you stand up here, I rarely say a personal opinion, but I do not believe that our Judeo-Christian values played a role, or much of a role, in what happened this week. And I ask myself why. Are they so irrelevant in the world today? I don't think they are. And so I'm left with the why, and I don't have an answer. But I do believe as I recalibrate, that is what I need to process through. God does not want us to change our values, but God wants those values to be in the world, and we are the believers who must bring them to the world. And when we make a choice to do that, the world can change. And when we don't, the world changes too, but in a different way. And we do not always experience joy. What we experience is worry. And Corrie ten Boom shared a truth that I want to share with you. Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. And so when I think about recalibrating, I think about Philippians 4. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about those things. Truth, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy. Those are the values that I will always hold in my heart, and those are the values that bring me joy. So I heard this story this week. Actually, I read it online. It's just a story, but it was very impactful to me. A Christian elder described life's struggle with this truth. It feels like there are two dogs fighting inside of me. And so his companion said, "Which dog wins?" And the elder said, "The one I feed." One of my top 10 favorite movies is The American President. It was made in 1995. It's a romantic comedy. You don't have to admit that you watch romantic comedies. It was written by Aaron Sorkin, and I am an Aaron Sorkin junkie. If you don't know what I mean, that's okay. If you do, you understand it, because it's a slight sickness. He's an amazing person. He writes amazing things. So if I can see an Aaron Sorkin movie or an Avengers movie, I'm a happy camper. And last week I thought, you know what, I'm going to watch this movie again, and so I watched it on Netflix. And I was once again reminded of an amazing quote, which when I read, I usually get choked up, so I will warn you now, about America. The movie is Michael Douglas. He's an American president, and he is butting heads, running against someone who is very different than he is and has different beliefs. And he gets up in front of the press corps, and he says these words, and I think that they are very inspirational. And as I said, this is a movie from 1995. America isn't easy. America is advanced citizenship. You have to want it bad because it's going to put up a fight. It's going to say, you want free speech? Let's see you acknowledge a man whose words makes your blood boil, who is standing center stage and advocating at the top of his lungs that which you would spend a lifetime opposing at the top of yours. You want to claim America as the land of the free? Then the symbol of your country cannot just be the flag. The symbol also has to be one of its citizens exercising their right to protest. Now show me that. Defend that, celebrate that in our classrooms and our churches. Then you can stand up and sing about the land of the free. Are you feeding your concerns and struggles and allowing them to control everything in your life, to control your joy? That is not what God tells us to do. Going back to our scripture today, we are clearly told what God wants us to do. To proclaim the good news to others. Do not allow yourself to get distracted. To heal the brokenhearted. Do not allow yourself to get distracted. To proclaim freedom for people who are prisoners or captives. Do not allow yourself to get distracted. To bring joy to those in mourning, do not let yourself get distracted. To wear garments of praise and joy instead of despair, do not let yourself get distracted. To rebuild and restore and renew the cities, do not let yourself get distracted. For the Lord God will reward God's people. And God has made a covenant with us here today. We are the people of the Lord, and the Lord will bless us and give us joy. Do not let yourself become distracted. Amen.
Westwood United Methodist Church is located at 10497 Wilshire Boulevard in Los Angeles, between Westwood Village and Beverly Hills. Sundays are at the heart of this faith community's life, and we invite you to worship every Sunday at 10 a.m. A wide variety of opportunities for all ages are also available every week. To learn more, visit us on the web at www.westwoodumc.org or call the church office at area code 310-474-4511. I'm Janet Hoskins. Westwood United Methodist Church. Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with God.